From WNYC in New York, this is Soundcheck. I'm John Schaefer, and in the next 60 minutes, our series on musical guilty pleasures continues and takes an unexpected turn. I'll explain later. For now, let me just say that our voicemail is full of the funny, strange, or just plain wrong musical choices that some of you have made. Check out this one.
Hi, my guilty pleasure. I live in New Jersey, in rural New Jersey. I'm a semi-empowered feminist. Yet I have a guilty pleasure of listening to Lil Jon and the East Side Boys. Don't tell anyone.
No, your secret's safe with me. It's not like I'm going to broadcast it all over the place or anything. You can keep yourself where you're at. 369, so our self-described, semi-empowered feminist can't help liking Lil Jon's naughty song, Get Low. Well, don't be so quick to judge, because your musical guilty pleasure might be coming up later. Now, I'm normally too polite to tell a woman that her roots are showing, but in the case of Natalie Maines, lead singer of the Dixie Chicks, and Aoife O'Donovan, lead singer of the band Crooked Still, they've both gone solo, releasing albums that proudly show off their musical roots. And in Natalie Maines' case, those roots might surprise her longtime fans. Aoife O'Donovan and her band will unveil some of her new songs live in the studio later on. But Natalie Maines joins us right now. Natalie, welcome to Soundcheck.
Hi, thank you.
So, we're talking about musical guilty pleasures. You got one for us?
Oh, I have lots. In honor of a news story this week, I'll say Crisscross. I always liked Crisscross.
Really? Mm-hmm. Not Christopher Cross, the sailing guy,
no.
But the rap duo, Crisscross.
Wear their clothes backwards, yes. I performed, what was their?
Jump.
Big hit, Jump. I performed that my senior lock-in. Girls had to perform as guys, and guys had to perform as girls, and me and my friend did our clothes backwards and put little squiggly things all over our hair, and I choreographed our whole routine. It was fantastic.
That doesn't sound like something to be embarrassed about at all.
Well, you know, I'm hard to embarrass, so I don't.
We've noticed.
I also like Milli Vanilli. I've got a whole list of guilty pleasures.
Now, let me ask you, was making country music ever a guilty pleasure for you? As someone who grew up in Texas and then went away to Berkeley to
right.
perhaps study other types of music.
Right. Well, I mean, as far as I was not a country fan growing up, I kind of rebelled against that. But so was Dixie Chicks a guilty pleasure? No, I don't think so. I just loved what Marty and Emily did. And the first song that I did with them, which I didn't know was an audition to be in the band, I thought they just wanted me to sing this demo of a song they had written. Because I had met them a couple times before. My dad would play with them, and they would come to our house in
Lubbock.
Your dad's
a producer.
And a steel guitar player, mm-hmm. musician. And they asked me to sing this song, and I wasn't a fan of what I had seen them do before. I liked them as people, but they wore Western fringe from head to toe and big cowboy hats, and I had never worn a cowboy hat in my life. And I loved the song that they wrote, and I thought, wow, this is the direction they're, you know, this is what comes out of them, and they write this themselves. Once they asked me to be in the band, I thought I could definitely go here, and I was just really impressed with how well they played their instruments. I'd never seen women play like that before. So I think my instincts just told me that our two worlds could meld and create something kind of cool.
And when was that?
That was in 1995.
Mm-hmm. So what kind of music, I mean, you had not yet turned 21, so maybe there were multiple plans and you hadn't sorted out, but what were you thinking of doing before you got kind of sidetracked.
Well, in college, I actually was changing my major constantly. I think I saw college as sort of the plan B, so I didn't want to major in music because I could already do that, but I wanted the fallback plan. So I studied psychology and what else? I was a mass communications major. Oh, I was a DJ for a semester.
What kind of show?
You just played the songs. There was the cards, and you played the songs,
okay.
And then you read little news bulletins or community goings on. I thought I would love it, and I absolutely hated it. I was afraid to turn on the microphone and talk. I just wanted to play the songs and have my shift be over.
Before Dixie Chicks, what kind of musical path did you think you were going to try?
Oh, I definitely thought I was going to be Madonna or Mariah Carey. But then in high school, I got way into rock and the classic rock and 60s. And but I always loved a good hit on the top 40 stations. James Taylor's been huge influence in my life. And later it was Patti Griffin. She's my favorite. But yeah, it was always more rootsy kind of rock or blues, R&B, that sort of thing.
Yeah. And then, of course, came the Dixie Chicks. And now comes your debut solo full-length record called Mother. This is a departure from, you know, what we've come to expect from you over the course of the Dixie Chicks years, at
least.
Right, right. Is this maybe going back to some of that other music that you liked?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, it just felt like me. I didn't have to think about the direction. What is this going to be? What am I going to be? I mean, I think this is the part of me that I brought to the Dixie Chicks. It's just I got to have all the say-so and do what I wanted. And so, you know, the instrumentation is different, and there is some three-part harmony with Ben and I singing harmony on this album. But I definitely
That's Ben Harper, the singer-songwriter, guitarist, producer.
Yes, extraordinaire.
Yeah.
But I knew I wanted it to not sound like something the Dixie Chicks could do, because then why do it?
Why do it, right? So the album title, Mother, comes from the song by Pink Floyd from The Wall.
Yes.
Now, you're a mom.
Yeah.
Did you have mixed feelings about this? I mean, in the context of The Wall, this song is not a particularly flattering portrait of the character's mother.
No, it's not. And I don't know that mine is necessarily flattering of her either, but I was drawn to it for a lot of reasons. The melody, and I went and saw The Wall for the second time, actually. And the second time when I was there, it just hit me that I have to do that song. But I do, even though the mother is horrible, I can sympathize with her and understand where she's coming from. I know for me, when I had my kids, just something happens biologically where just the worry sets in. And so I think, you know, we have to be conscientious of not building walls around our children or putting our fears or issues onto them. So, but I still feel those things. So the mom's not horrible for feeling them, but maybe horrible for acting on them.
Let's hear a little bit of Natalie Maine's version of the Pink Floyd song, Mother.
Hush now, baby, baby, don't you cry.
Natalie Maines and her version of the song Mother from her album Mother, originally from Pink Floyd's 1979 album The Wall. Natalie Maines with me here in the Soundcheck studio. It's Ben Harper's all over this record, too. How did the two of you hook up?
We've known each other for a little bit. We have mutual friends, so we see each other at their dinner parties and things, and they were always trying to get us to do something together. I didn't think I had the time to do music, but Ben opened up a studio on the west side of Los Angeles, which if anyone is familiar with Los Angeles, you stick in your area or you can get trapped in traffic for too long. But so it just sort of made it convenient. And we didn't say we were making an album. I still wasn't sure I had time for that. And I didn't know what we would sound like. I've done the Dixie Chicks for, I think, 15 years. And so it was just kind of scary. I just wasn't sure what that would be like. And so we just decided to go in and just have fun and experiment. His band was up for playing around. So that's what we did. And it just got more and more fun.
Now, he, like you, is known as someone who speaks his mind very often in his music.
Yeah.
So this could have been a very heavy-duty record, you know,
right,
almost like Screed, if you let it go that far.
Right.
Did you make a conscious decision not to go that direction?
No, we didn't have to talk about that. Maybe I think I'm kind of a bossy person, so I really chose the songs and chose what I wanted to do, and Ben helped me facilitate that musically, and he was just a great person to do this with, because I was so hesitant and kind of insecure about it. And Ben is just a very positive force and just has a great energy and just made me feel comfortable.
You know, it's interesting to hear you say that you felt kind of insecure about it when you've been kind of center stage for most of your adult life.
Right.
So what?
Well, decisions were made by committee, and so there's sort of comfort in that. If three of you all agree on something, then it feels right. Oh, okay, if three of us like this, then this is good. So I was just, even though I trust my instincts, I don't know, I was out of practice just having to listen to myself and make my own decisions. So it was scary, but I fell into it rather quickly. It got easy. I liked
being a mom gives you kind of practice at that, doesn't it?
Yes. Exactly.
Natalie Maines, Grammy Award-winning lead singer of the Dixie Chicks. Her debut solo album's called Mother. It's a collection of some originals, some carefully chosen covers. The lead-off track is by Eddie Vedder of Pearl Jam, although not a Pearl Jam song.
No, Eddie Vedder ukulele song.
Yeah, from that record he did called Ukulele Songs.
I'll grow when you grow. Let me loosen up the blindfold. I'll fly when you out of this landslide.
Now, you've worked with him before, right?
Well, we sang together on a West of Memphis rally in Arkansas a couple of years ago. And
West Memphis 3?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Sorry, West of Memphis is the documentary that came out. But yeah, the West Memphis 3. And then we just became friends because of the West Memphis 3. We both worked on that. And he's the best. He's the greatest. And I was obsessed with his ukulele album. Listened to it every day for over a year. And when I started recording and working on music, I knew I wanted to do one of those songs. I didn't know which one. And then when I started listening, I could just hear the groove that could go behind Without You and some guitar riffs and things like that. So, and I loved the lyrics. The lyrics are so romantic. His wife is so lucky that he writes all these wonderful songs about her.
It's a great opening line. I'll grow when you grow. You know, I mean, Let's hear a little bit of Natalie Maines' version of this Eddie Vedder song called Without You. Natalie Maines, the song Without You, written by Pearl Jam's Eddie Vedder, and that's from Natalie's new record called Mother. She's here with us in the Soundcheck studio. So while we're listening to that, I said to you, that sounds like a Pearl Jam song now, and you said, some people are saying it sounds like George Harrison. Right. How much, I mean, do these versions of these songs, did any of them surprise you when they were done and you listened back and you thought, oh, is that what we did?
Oh, yeah, all of them were like that, I think, because, you know, when you're in the studio, you're just sort of doing it piece by piece after you do the tracking. And, I mean, I definitely pull from influences like the Beatles, Tom Petty, things like that, but it's not... I don't know that I'm aware of it or conscious of it at the time.
Right. And then when you finally hear the finished product,
yeah,
there's maybe that little shock
of
recognition.
You can hear where it's coming from, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So where were you at sort of emotionally in writing this? I mean, you were away from music
for a
number of years. I mean, yeah, there were some Dixie Chicks tours and things like that.
Right. But I haven't recorded an album in 7 yet.
Right. So the last one was Taking the Long Way, the 2006 record, this kind of defiant, you know, record that was showered with Grammys but still very controversial.
Yeah.
So where were you in the kind of writing and compiling of this album?
I feel like I was in a hopeful place and a positive place. I think the record has a lot of hope on it. It was interesting, you know, Ben was going through a breakup and a divorce, and I was in a positive place, so it was interesting. We had lots of good conversations at the studio during those days, but Take It On Faith is probably the one that I most lyrically connected to, and it's hard for me to talk about because it is a very vulnerable song.
But you've done, I mean, since your famous comments on the London stage back in 2003, you know, we're ashamed George Bush is from Texas, you've put yourself out there, you know.
Yeah.
you've
Well, I don't mind putting myself out there politically and all of my opinions when it starts getting to sentimentalities and...
So that's hard. That's hard.
Yes, yes. I've had some therapy to work through my problems communicating these things. But, and I also want people to just let the song affect them however it's going to affect them. They don't need to know all my reasons behind my words.
Well, let's hear a little bit of that song, Take It On Faith, by Natalie Maines from the album Mother.
There's only one road in and out of my heart. I don't know where it ends, where it starts. But the night is young, younger than we. So let's burn right and wrong. I'll forgive you, and you'll forgive me. Take it on faith that I'll be there. You will try not to run when it's hard.
Take It On Faith, a song co-written by Natalie Maines, and it's on her new record, her solo album called Mother. Natalie Maines with me on Soundcheck, the Grammy Award-winning lead singer of the Dixie Chicks. There have been some tours, even though you haven't been back in the studio with the trio. How active are the Dixie Chicks nowadays?
I mean, not super active. We have 4 shows this summer in Canada. And the girls have a Courtyard Hounds album coming out in July. So we all live in different cities, and it's just difficult to get together. But, you know, there's lots of reasons or excuses or however people look at it for why we haven't been back in the studio. But, I mean, we're still together as a band.
Mm-hmm. And has country music as a scene, as an industry, has it changed in the 10 years since the George Bush comments? No, it's the age of Obama.
I have no idea. I'm not in that world at all.
Yeah.
I couldn't tell you a country song that's on the radio right now. Oh, except that lovely Brad Paisley song,
the Accidental Racist.
That one I'm well aware of. That's the only thing
I've
heard.
Have you tweeted about that?
Maybe.
Your Twitter account, or at least the Twitter account that we think is you, is really funny.
Thanks.
because you take no... I'll say guff, because it's a polite show, from anybody on Twitter.
I have some fun.
Is that just part and parcel of being a well-known singer and public figure, or do you still sense that there's, you know, some lingering anger from those 10-year-ago comments?
Oh, no, definitely. I mean, the people that... my haters, so to speak, are they seek me out for sure to come tell me something. They don't follow me, you mm-hmm. know, they just come and not. But usually they're spelled wrong.
Yeah.
Poor grammar. So I have some fun with it.
Now, here's a Twitter question from Steph, who writes in and says, will your solo gig be country or rock?
My solo gig?
Yeah.
This
I mean,
album?
Will you be doing tours around this album?
I hope to. I want to play and do a tour. There's nothing scheduled right now. But no, I don't think this album... is directed towards the country audience.
As you said before, you're out of that world pretty much entirely.
Yeah, I mean, we've been out of that world since they banned us in 2003. So even though we made another album, it definitely was not for country music. We didn't care if anybody played it or who played it. We made it for ourselves.
Well, there was, the song Not Ready to Make Nice, which, I mean, the title pretty much said it all. but on the new record, you also do Come Crying to Me, which is a Dixie Chicks song.
Yeah, I wrote it with Marty and Emily and Gary Loris from the Jayhawks. Yeah, we wrote that for that album, but it just didn't make that record.
Oh, okay. So this is one that, have you done this live, you know, on tour with the Dixie Chicks in the
past? No.
It's the first time we're hearing it.
Yeah. You know how to fly on the wings of disaster. You try to stand still, but you keep going faster.
Come Crying to Me, originally written by my guest Natalie Maines and the rest of the Dixie Chicks. And you mentioned Gary Loris of the Jayhawks, who also has a couple of co-writing credits on this record.
Well, he's got the co-write on that, and then we did a Jayhawks song, I'd Run Away.
Yeah.
Yep, so he's got two on there.
Now, they're a band that has a foot, you know, in many different musical, you know, there are... You could see how country people would like this band.
Yeah, yeah.
You could see how rock people would like this band.
Definitely.
Is that kind of, you know, I suppose it's all American music at some point.
Right.
Is that what you're hoping people will treat Mother as, this record?
I don't know. I don't know if I hope they'll think of it a certain way. But I do think, you know, it is sort of rootsy rock, so there is... some of that sound in there.
And plans for the future? You mentioned you'd like to be able to tour this, but you still have kids.
I think
kids,
people are
so
still
it's...
figuring out what the sound is and who it fits in with, if I open for someone or do my own thing. I've got my kids. My husband has graciously volunteered to, you know, let me have my turn. He's an actor, and so he never knows, you know, where the next gig is going to take him.
Right.
So that's another reason I just haven't felt like I could explore music, because we want our kids raised by us.
Right.
And just with his job being so unpredictable. But he's agreed to say no for a couple of jobs.
Now, Are the kids old enough that they're developing their own musical taste?
Oh, yes. My oldest is 12. He's all into vinyl, and he's all into 90s grunge.
Really?
Pearl Jam, and he loves Nirvana and Smashing Pumpkins. Okay. He's getting into all this. Yeah, it's cool.
Yeah.
I like it. I'm proud.
Good. Well, you've done a very fine job, Mother. Mother is the name of the record from Natalie Maines, the Grammy Award-winning lead singer of the Dixie Chicks. The solo album is out now, and Natalie, it's been a real pleasure having you with us.
Thanks. Nice to meet you.
This is Soundcheck. Just a little bit of the Smashing Pumpkins song today. In a moment, we'll continue our week-long discussion about musical guilty pleasures. Who knows, maybe the Smashing Pumpkins music is a guilty pleasure for some of you out there. We'll talk about the musical tastes and choices you'd rather keep to yourself, and we'll speak with a musician who's created a whole band devoted to the idea of musical guilty pleasures. That's next on Soundcheck. This is Soundcheck. I gotta say, you guys are lousy at keeping secrets. All we had to say on the radio was, hey, what's your musical guilty pleasure that you don't really want anyone to know about? And tons of you picked up the phone and called us at 866-939-1612. Many of you gave us your full names, your phone numbers, and told us your deepest, darkest musical secrets. What part of the word broadcasting do you not get? I mean, it's a good thing we're trustworthy, upstanding public radio types, because if not, you would be in trouble. Like someone that I'll just refer to as Jill, because that's her name, from New Jersey.
I'm calling about my musical guilty pleasure, and that would be, as I like to call it, any white girl music, Dashboard Confessional, Brand New, Yellow Card. Definitely within the last 10 years, that kind of poppy punk sound. But particularly Dashboard Confessional, Screaming Infidelities. That song means the world to my heart, but I would never admit that to anyone.
I'm missing your love. How did it break? And when did your eyes begin to look fake? I hope you're as happy as you're pretending.
Thanks for the confessional confession, Jill. And speaking of New Jersey...
Hi, this is Mike from New Jersey. My guilty pleasure is that when I discovered ABBA, and specifically Dancing Queen, it just rocked my world.
Here's another voicemail from a listener named Sammy.
My boyfriend and I have a band called Guilty Pleasure where we exclusively play Guilty Pleasure songs.
Okay, clearly this is someone that we needed to talk to. So I called Sammy up. So Sammy, you're in a band called Guilty Pleasure.
I am.
Why?
My boyfriend and I are both musicians in bands, and I don't really know how it started. We just sort of got to talking about our own guilty pleasures. I'm sort of like a person who I think admittedly listens to like pretty bad music. On the outside, I appear to be like a very hip person.
Give an example of some of the bad music you listen to.
I mean, Counting Crows. Like the other day I was listening to the soundtrack of The Little Mermaid, like walking down the street. I was like, oh my God, what... Uh-huh. What would people think? You know, I love, like, Kelly Clarkson and Taylor Swift. I listen to just sort of, like, it's not that it's not good music, but just not, like, cool music.
Right, right. So the point of the band was to kind of indulge other people in their guilty pleasures, too.
Right. So we we started, we kind of wanted it to be like a community thing. So the first show that we did was our own Guilty Pleasures. And then we invited people who were at that show to have their own Guilty Pleasure party, where they would throw a party in their house. They would send us an email with like 10 of their Guilty Pleasure songs. We learned the songs. We would go to their house and play their Guilty Pleasures.
Mm-hmm.
So it was something that we wanted to be sort of like a community building, you know, just sort of like taking back your Guilty Pleasure and making it...
Owning it.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So how long have you been doing this?
We've only done about 5 or 6 shows, and only one that was sort of open to the public, or, you know, at like a regular venue.
Right. So most of them are house parties.
Exactly.
And have you noticed any trends, any common songs or types of songs that come up?
Yes. well, you know, we've tried not to play like the same song too many times, but the song that sort of comes up a lot is Drops of Jupiter by Train.
Now that she's back in the atmosphere with drops of Jupiter in her head.
God.
so much so that it's our email address is the best soy latte 2013 at Gmail.
The best soy latte that you ever had in me.
It's probably like the worst lyric ever written in a song. The best soy latte that you ever had. But that one really brings the house down, and it's a guilty pleasure of a lot of people. Natalie Imbruglia's Torn is very popular.
Nothing's fine, I'm torn. I'm all out of faith. This is how I feel. I'm cold and I am shamed. Lying naked on the floor.
So the way it works is people send you a list in advance of their musical guilty pleasures, and then you and Michael learn them.
Right. And then we go to their house and play them for those people and their friends.
Uh-huh. And how do those people respond?
They freak out, usually. Usually everyone totally freaks out. It's pretty amazing. I mean, people burst into song, you know, like a lot of people sing along with us. People mm-hmm. get very excited. Yeah.
Have you ever, Sammy, seen, you know, one person turn to another and say, "Ew, you like that?"
Yeah, our friend Kyle pretended to jump out the window one night. I think actually we were playing Drops of Jupiter, and he was like, "That is the worst song I have ever heard in my entire life."
As long as he said it was the worst song and not the worst performance, that's...
Right, right. Yeah. I think our performance is pretty killer of that
uh-huh.
song. People really enjoy it.
All right, Sammy. So you and Michael are guilty pleasure when you're not in your other bands.
Exactly.
How much longer do you think you can keep this up, learning other songs that people are embarrassed to like?
I mean, we feel like we've just started. And, you know, it seems, I mean, even with your show, you know, with your theme this week, and then like a few weeks ago, Glee did an episode of Guilty Pleasure and people were emailing us and be like, "Oh my God, you know, it's all happening." So I feel like there really is a desire for something like this, especially among people our age who are sort of like in their early 30s, who are musicians and, you know, who listen to a lot of new music and are supposedly like kind of cool. People just sort of indulging in these songs that are, you know, kind of terrible, but also wonderful and nostalgic.
Well, Sammy, I mean, we have gotten sort of, as you've seen, we've gotten a lot of response to, I mean, people are
yes.
coming out of the, they want to share their guilty pleasures.
I know. They want to so badly. I know.
Yeah. All right. So you've got a lot of work ahead of you, apparently, there.
Bye. I bring it on. We're very excited. Yeah.
All right. Sammy Tunis, member of, well, along with Michael O'Neill, of the Brooklyn band called Guilty Pleasure. Sammy, thanks so much for calling us today.
Thanks so much for having me on. Thank you.
This is Soundcheck.
Right now, he's probably slow dancing with a bleach blonde tramp, and she's probably getting thirsty. Right now, he's probably buying her some fruity little drink, cause she can't shoot whiskey. Right now, he's probably up behind her with a pool stick, showing her how to shoot a combo. And he don't know. I dug my key into
Underwood's Before He Cheats. It's another often requested song at Sammy Tunis' Guilty Pleasures performances. Up next on Soundcheck, singer-songwriter Aoife O'Donovan, lead singer for the progressive bluegrass band Crooked Still, brings the sound of her debut solo album to our studio for a live performance. That's next. This is Soundcheck.
Gonna lay my burden down, lay my body in the ground.
This is Soundcheck. I'm John Schaefer. In her years as lead singer of the progressive bluegrass band Crooked Still, Aoife O'Donovan has attracted quite a few fans, among them cellist Yo-Yo Ma, jazz trumpeter Dave Douglas, and the alt-country singer Alison Krauss. In fact, Krauss did a very successful recording of this Aoife O'Donovan song, Lay My Burden Down, a couple of years ago. Now, Aoife has finally gotten around to recording her own version of it on a forthcoming solo record called Fossils. Aoife O'Donovan is here with her band, and they're going to play some of it for us live. First, here is the album's single, Red and White and Blue and Gold, live on Soundcheck.
Red and white and blue and gold, I wanna wait for the water to touch my toes. On the beach, the 4th of July, I wanna wait for the fire to burn my eyes. Come on, sit next to me. Bury my feet in the sand. There's a hole that's 12 miles deep. Dug it with my hands. Come on, lie next to me. I'll sing you to sleep. Sing you to sleep. There's a band on the
That is Aoife O'Donovan and her band, live on Soundcheck, here in the studio performing Red and White and Blue and Gold, with Ryan Scott doing some tasty slide guitar, Jacob Silver playing bass, Robin McMillan behind our drum kit. Aoife O'Donovan's debut solo album will be called Fossils, and it comes out on June 11th. She'll be performing a sort of album release party here in New York at Mercury Lounge that night, June 11th, but we're getting a preview of it today. Aoife, welcome to Soundcheck.
It's great to be here, John.
So the title Fossils, I mean, you know, you're not a dinosaur, so what is the what's the reference there?
Well, I mean, Jurassic Park was a really big movie for me. No, the reference it sort of comes from a lyric in a song called Fire Engine. There's a line in the chorus where I talk about putting all of my pebbles in a mound and among the fossils and the fables, and it just seemed like a fitting word for a lot of these songs, some of which are older than others, but it's taken me a long time to sort of make this solo album, and I'm really excited to share it with everyone.
I was wondering if maybe it was a reference to the amount of time it has. How long a process has this been?
Well,
for you?
I first started talking about doing this when I was 18, and I turned 30 this year, so I guess 12 years. It's not
right.
That long, but
that's pretty long. Are there any kind of musical fossils? I mean, I look at the song list and Lay My Burden Down, Briar Rose, Oh Mama. I mean, these are titles that could have been ripped out of, you know, 19th century American songbooks.
Well, I think that a lot of the tunes, for me, I love folk music so much. It's what I grew up listening to and what I've really spent the last 10 years immersing myself in. So I think a lot of the themes that ended up coming out of my own songs were sort of folky themes, fossils, if you will, from the American songbook,
Yeah. Kind
of reinterpreted by a 21st century woman.
Now, when you say you grew up with folk music, it was Celtic folk music that you grew up with, right?
It was, pretty much, although I definitely had my fair dose of all kinds of folk music. My parents are amazing musicians, both of them, and so much music in my house growing up, definitely Mostly Celtic. Lots of parties at my parents' house full of folk musicians from Ireland and Scotland crashing on couches and staying up till the wee hours jamming.
Really?
That is a true story. There are photographs to prove it.
Wow. That must have been quite the bohemian upbringing for...
It wasn't. It was my dad at that time sort of lived a double life. He was and still is a radio producer at WGBH in Boston.
Fellow traveler.
Exactly. At that time, he was also working in Major League Sports for... he kind of had a corporate day job. But was a real hippie at heart.
Nice. You went to like Ireland in the summer, and
I did go to like Ireland. It was awesome.
I mean, there's you've worked with Seamus Egan, right?
I have, yeah.
Seamus, who is this great American, I'll say multi-instrumentalist because he does play everything, would go over as a kid to these competitions in Ireland.
The FLA.
And would win all of them.
He's a real genius.
Did you do any of that competition stuff?
Well, I did Irish step dancing. People who know me will know that obviously didn't go very well. But I did place ninth in the Oireachtas in New England in 1990, and then I gave up. But I spent every summer of my life in Ireland. My family is all very musical. My grandparents are kind of... My grandfather is sort of the head of the family, the ballad singer himself, and... And that kind of formed a lot of my musical stuff.
And the name Aoife, a good Gaelic name,
exactly,
with all those vowels that don't get pronounced. A O I F E, if you're keeping score at home, and pronounced Aoife. Aoife O'Donovan, my guest on Soundcheck. The album's out on June 11th. It's called Fossils. And produced by Tucker Martine, who's known for doing My Morning Jacket and The Decemberists and Sufjan Stevens. You know, maybe not the obvious choice for this kind of record.
I first was turned on to Tucker. He worked with a singer-songwriter named Sarah Siskind, who is incredible. And she put out a record in 2003 that Tucker produced. And I heard it then, back in 2003, and just said at that moment, I want Tucker Martine to produce my solo album. And Miraculously, it ended up happening 10 years later.
So that was 2 years into this 12-year process
Exactly.
of making this record. All right. So it all finally did come together. Now, you mentioned Fossils. The name is from a line in this next song, Fire Engine.
Yeah, we're going to do the song called Fire Engine. And it's kind of a country-ish number.
All right. Let's hear it. It's Aoife O'Donovan and her band. They're playing live here in the Soundcheck studio for us today. They'll be performing at the Mercury Lounge here in New York on June 11th, which is a Tuesday night, celebrating the release earlier that day of this CD. Aoife O'Donovan and a song called Fire Engine.
Kick it off, boys.
Fanfare of the firefly didn't come as much of a surprise to you. 'Cause nothing does, you know it all, you know everything. Do I know you? Where am I gonna get my love from now? I put a little oil in my lamp, I try to keep it burning, I try to keep it in. It's all in vain, it's all for naught. Your name is in blue ink across my hand. Where am I gonna get my love from now? I get down on the ground, put my pebbles in a mound. Gotta dig a little deeper, hide the jewels that I found among the fossils and the fables. Told to me by my neighbor, 3 bucks down. When you were able, make a sound, make a sound. The sound of the fire engine, the sound of you pouring the gin. I can hear the ice, I can hear the limes, I can taste it on your lips every time. Am I gonna get my water? Pebbles in a mound. Gotta dig a little deeper. Hide the jewels that I found among the fossils and the fables. Told to me by my neighbor, 3 bucks down. When you were able, make a sound.
Aoife O'Donovan and her band live on Soundcheck with a song called Fire Engine. It'll appear on her forthcoming record called Fossils, along with the song they're going to do for us next, Beekeeper. Once again, Aoife O'Donovan and her band live on Soundcheck. Through my pen and ink, but it's what I want.
can see the light. Promised you I wouldn't go down without a fight. I know it won't always be black and white. There are demons and things that go bump in the night. So swallow your bitter pill. Said you were a thrill seeker. What's your thrill? It's the way you walk, it's the way you stand still, and the way that you make me always will. Hey, today is the day. Are you ready to fall? Are you ready to jump from the plane with a stranger on your back? Sky's turning black. I'm stuck in you like a thumbtack. Between my legs and my arms, you're alarmed. And I won't hurt you, just wanna charm you. I wanna be there, I wanna be there. I won't let you go. A beekeeper, I've been a seeker. Hit the ground and run it. Told you so.
Aoife O'Donovan with a song called Beekeeper here in the Soundcheck studio. Once again, Ryan Scott playing guitar, Jacob Silver playing bass, Robin McMillan playing the drums, Aoife singing, playing acoustic guitar, and all of these songs from the forthcoming album Fossils, which comes out on June 11th. Record release party that night here in New York at the Mercury Lounge. Aoife, the plans for the summer apparently include yet more public radio. I mean, you mentioned your dad had a job as a radio producer, WGBH in Boston. You're going to be out on the road with Garrison Keillor's Prairie Home Companion?
I am.
Doing what?
I'm going to be his duet partner for the first half of the Radio Romance Tour.
Mm.
And I think Sarah Watkins is going to be the duet partner for the second half. So it should be quite the adventure. Those guys are great.
Yeah. Now, Yo-Yo Ma and Chris Thiele and Edgar Meyer and Stuart Duncan were all here. The Goat Rodeo Project,
mm-hmm,
won a Grammy for their sort of evocation of traditional Americana. You were not here that day, but you're on the record.
I'm on the record, and I was on that whole press tour. That last day in New York, I had to fly to a Crooked Still gig, so I missed all the cool stuff.
Yeah. What is the deal with Crooked Still? I mean, that wasn't so long ago that
no,
you guys
it
were
wasn't.
Playing.
Our last show was in Brisbane, Australia in January of 2012. And we're on a sort of, you know, we'll see what happens. We're, uh-huh, we're not touring right now and have no plans to sort of reconvene in the near future.
Everybody's sort of dispersed and living in different places,
exactly,
and stuff. But the Goat Rodeo Project, you guys will be on tour as well.
We are going on tour in August. I can't wait.
All right. And August 21st, a gig for our listeners in WDET land out in Michigan.
Exactly.
All right. And one of the other things, Aoife, that we've been talking about on the program this week is musical guilty pleasures. You listen to a lot of pretty cool stuff, but is there something when no one's looking that you take out of the old LP box or something that's on the iPod that you don't necessarily like to share?
I think if I had to admit, the thing on my iPod that I would probably be most embarrassed to share is the Newsies soundtrack.
Newsies?
I can't believe I'm saying this live on the radio, but it's true.
Well, why are you embarrassed about that?
Well, I'm actually not really embarrassed. I guess I'm kind of proud of it, but I would consider it a guilty pleasure.
Yeah.
I'm still hoping that someday I can have a part in that play.
And the world will know, and the journal too. It's
Jerseys. Well, it was a bit, you know, it did pretty well on Broadway.
I know. Well, I still didn't see it on Broadway. The movie, though, Christian Bale. Oh, it was so dreamy.
Oh, the movie.
Yeah, that came out, you know, when I was a kid. And
right.
Around the same time as Jurassic Park.
All right. Aoife O'Donovan and a life shaped by film, apparently. Aoife, you old fossil, you.
I know, gosh.
June 11th is the release date for the album Fossils. It's been great having you in the band here. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Sean. What an honor.
Everyone loves a sleeping pew. On the stage and on the screen. So you take it like a man, do what you can.
You can see a video of Aoife O'Donovan in our studio with her band. That's up now at soundcheck.org. And that's going to do it for the show today. Tomorrow at 2 p.m., join us at soundcheck.org to stream a live performance from the dance funk band French Horn Rebellion. It's the brass instrument as you've never heard it before. Tomorrow night at 9, tune in as we talk with pianist Anthony DeMar. He recently invited composers and musicians to reimagine the works of Stephen Sondheim as solo piano pieces, and he'll play some of them. Plus, we'll talk about the 10th anniversary of iTunes and the surprising history of songs that just make you want to jump. See you tomorrow at 9. I'm John Schaefer. This is Soundcheck.